reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his mouth. They also asked, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" He said to them, "Surely you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, cure yourself,' and say, 'Do here in your native place the things that we heard were done in Capernaum.'" And he said, "Amen, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own native place. Indeed, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was closed for 3.5 years, and a severe famine spread over the entire land. It was to none of these that Elijah was sent, but only to a widow in Zarephath in the land of Sidon. Again, there were many lepers in Israel during the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian." When the people in the synagogue heard this, they were all filled with fury. They rose up, drove him out of the town, and led him to the brow of the hill on which their town had been built, to hurl him down headlong. But he passed through the midst of them and went on his way. The Gospel of the Lord. Oh, the fixes that the Spirit of the Lord can get a person into when it's taken seriously. From its opening chapter to its final words, the Gospel according to Luke is filled with the action of the Holy Spirit. And today's passage encapsulates in 14 short verses the various reactions to this presence of God's Spirit, particularly at work in Jesus, that we hear throughout the rest of the Gospel. They are reactions that haven't changed much in 2,000 years. First, the amazement and wonder. Then, the questions and expectations. And finally, the refusal and rejection. We don't know exactly what had happened to Jesus in the course of time when he first left Nazareth and then returned. What we do know from Luke's Gospel is that Jesus was baptized by John, tested in the wilderness, and filled with the power of the Spirit. He began to teach in the synagogues of Galilee. His reputation preceding him, he returned to his hometown, to the people and place that had guided him and shaped him in his formative years. But he didn't return the same way that they had known him, as Joseph's son. Rather, he returned, immersed in the life and love of the Spirit, as God's son. And in the end, this proved to be too much for them. I suppose that Jesus could have listened to the voices of those around him, telling him who they thought he was. But convinced of, convicted in, and consumed by the Spirit of God, Jesus remained obedient to the truth of who he was, the Son of God. And he passed through the midst of them and went on his way, continuing to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom to the oppressed, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. The Spirit that drove Jesus is the very same Spirit with which each one of us has been baptized. In the flowing waters, we too have been immersed into the life and love of the Spirit of God in Jesus Christ. Her gifts and fruits of proclamation, healing, forgiveness, wisdom, understanding, courage, and so many more are no less at our disposal than they were for Jesus. But oftentimes, we are intimidated or frightened by where the Spirit will lead, what it will ask us to do, or what fix it will get us into. We most assuredly do not want to appear different or be rejected, especially by those who shaped us and formed us and loved us. But to have been touched by the Spirit of God and to have known that touch in our lives, we are never the same. We cannot go back to the way things were before our awareness of this divine presence within us. We are called, like Jesus, to be convinced of, convicted in, and consumed by the Spirit of God, and to be obedient to the truth of who we were claimed to be in baptism and who we are in this moment, daughters and sons of God. We ask in our prayers for the gift of the Spirit for this or for that. But if you're like me, we ask for it in anticipation of its coming in some future moment. But the promise of the Spirit is fulfilled today, in this moment. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. Yes, there is risk in opening ourselves to this divine life. And there will be reactions of wonder and amazement, of questions and expectations, and of refusal and rejection. But the Spirit is ready and waiting for us to respond. Our task is to be faithful to its call day after day and to allow God's action in our lives to bring about the transformation of the world. All we have to do is take the Spirit seriously.